we're very excited for our next guest. He is the star of CSI New York. His name is Hill Harper. His new book is The Wealth Cure, Putting Money in Its Place. After a stunning thyroid cancer diagnosis, Hill Harper was forced to come to terms with what was really important in his life. The author of three New York Times bestselling books and the star of numerous feature films, he realized he was in for his toughest role yet. Suddenly, all the cars, homes, and accolades no longer mattered. Needing to clear his head and come to terms with his illness, Hill hopped on a cross-country train and set into motion a lasting lesson on the fundamental values of life and redefining the proper relationship between money and true wealth. From this trip, The Wealth Cure was born, presenting a new definition of wealth and motivating readers to not only build financial security, but to also achieve wealth in every other area of their lives. Hill Harper has appeared in numerous primetime television shows and feature films, including Beloved and He Got Game. He has degrees from Brown University, Harvard Law School, and the Kennedy School of Government. It's a great pleasure to welcome Hill Harper to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. When you got the diagnosis, at what point did, I mean, that's an immediate ball rolling a start as far as putting you on a different thought process, I assume.
Yes. Well, what happened was I was actually working on a book that it's a very traditional financial literacy book at the time. You know, I'd been working with a lot of people through my foundation around money and money issues, and many of us aren't that healthy in terms of our relationship to money. We carry a lot of debt, et cetera. So I was working on a book that was pretty traditional in that regard. And then I got this diagnosis. My father had died of cancer. His father had died of cancer. And I got this diagnosis that really made me take a step back and add a component to this book that says, you know, money is critical and money is very important to actually building a solid foundation for our lives and the lives of our family. But what's even more important are these other wealth factors, like our health, like our time. And if we are actually smart about money, we can actually increase these other factors commensurately. And so that's what the title, The Wealth Cure, refers to, is kind of curing or finding a healthy relationship to money.
What is there, do you think, about a road trip that can get you thinking and can get you to explore things?
Well, you know, for me, jumping on a train like I did to sort of take a beat and take a second, there's a sense of, it's almost meditative in a way. It's about saying, you know, I'm going to actually be alone with my thoughts. And particularly when you talk about issues of health, mortality, and even money, most people don't want to talk about, honestly, about these things. They don't want to talk about what they're doing to actually maintain their health and live a healthy lifestyle. Many people don't want to talk about money. You know, we are very hesitant to tell people what we earn or how much debt we carry. Why? We don't even want to admit it to ourselves. We don't want to have budgets. We don't want to do these things. And so when money is the number one thing that couples argue about, when money is the number one stress causer, when you survey people, their bills, et cetera, it's such a huge thing, but yet we don't want to be honest about it. And so that's partly what taking a trip like that represented to me, saying, you know what, I got to take an honest look in the mirror, and I may have to get out of my normal lifestyle or life setting to be able to do that.
Why do you think we have the relationship with money that we have? How did that come to be, do you think?
Well, you know what, I think it came to be over time of being bombarded with certain consumer-based images, and the idea that unless you have this, then you can't truly be happy or you're not successful. And so sometimes, to be quite honest, it comes back to self-esteem and who you are. You know, debt, carrying credit card debt, is one of the most crippling things that we can do. But if you really look at most people's credit card bills, they're not spending things on what I call essentials. Most people aren't carrying credit card debt because of food purchases. Some people are, and those people, I mean, those are you know, real challenges. Most people aren't carrying credit card debt. They're not putting their rent payment on their credit card. Most credit card debt and crises that we see around credit happen with purchases that have to do with what we call oftentimes self-esteem-based purchases or lifestyle purchases that are basically, you know what, I'm going to get this car because, you know, unless people see me in this type of car, they won't think I'm successful, or this girl won't date me unless I have this or that, or unless I dress like this. These are lifestyle purchases that are oftentimes attempting to fill a different hole that money can't really fill.
You talk in the book about a life account versus a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
How so?
Most of us have been taught that what we should do is try to fill the biggest bank account we can, and then from that, purchase the life we want to live. Okay? My argument is flipping that equation and saying, you know, no, I'm going to actually have the wealthiest or the biggest life account. I'm going to do those things and pursue the things that actually make me happy and those around me happy. And then ask myself the question, how much money do I need to support that life account? And oftentimes what you find is that people that are following their passion, that have a plan, that build something, that invest in themselves, oftentimes the bank account outdistances the life account because they're actually following their passion. They're doing something because they want to do it, not because they feel they have to do it. So many of my friends that I went to Harvard with came out of Harvard Law School, took jobs at high-paying law firms, and when you talk to them in subsequent years, they're caught with what I call the golden handcuffs, meaning they feel trapped in their job because their lifestyle expanded in such a way that they need to keep earning at that level, yet they're miserable at their job. And there's somebody listening to us right now that probably wants to quit their job today, okay? That may not be the best plan as a rash decision, just like making a big purchase rashly isn't the best thing. But if you say, you know what, I don't like this job, I'm gonna figure out a way to invest in myself to get new skills, new training, that so I can move out of that area, that's building a life account, investing in yourself, and then the bank account will follow.
Because ultimately the two are linked. In the sense of you still need the bank account to support the life account.
Without question. And that's part of the whole tenet of the book. See, what's interesting about it, you hit the nail on the head. I read a lot of these books, and they tend to fall into two different categories. They're your books that are Susie Orman, Dave Ramsey type books that almost make you feel guilty to spend a dollar.
They yell at us.
They yell at you saying, don't do this, don't do that. Then there are these other books on the other side of the spectrum that tell you that you need to know a secret, and if you know the secret handshake or if you wish upon it, money's going to find its way to the chimney and then flow down, and you have this, you attract money, and you have the law of attraction, all that. The real truth is somewhere in between. Money is critically important. It's a real tangible asset. It's foundational to actually living a healthy and happy life. So we have to be responsible with our relationship to it and how we treat it. But all money is, at the same time, is a tool. Okay, it's a resource tool. It's not a result. It's not something that's meant to be chased. It's meant to be used like a hammer, like a tool. So when you have nails to pound, a hammer's a great tool. When you actually have to clean your floor, a hammer is not the best thing. And actually, if you use it, it's gonna scratch it up and create more damage. And so the way we use money in our lives is just as critical as the asset itself.
I certainly am not looking to minimize the work that you have done on this in any way, shape, or form, but it really does, it seems, of whether we're talking about diet, whether we're talking about health, whether we're talking about money, it really does come down to common sense, right? We all know the rules, that if you eat less and you exercise more, you will lose weight. If you save more and you spend less, you will be more financially secure.
Yes, it does. But it begs the question, why don't more of us do it?
Absolutely.
Why do we carry tremendous amounts of debt? Why do we have an obesity problem and a health problem, heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes in this country? All of these things, if you ask the question why, it goes to there has to be some deeper reasons, and hopefully that illness, so to speak, is what I talk about in The Wealth Cure.
Right. So, and I guess my question is that we ultimately know what we have to do. It's getting to that point and realizing it, even though deep down we know what needs to be done.
No. I'll take exception to that. Many of us think that we're actually doing it the right way. That's the problem, you know, because most of us don't have a plan. See, most of us are living, we're doing it the way that we were kind of taught to do it, whether it's through school, whether it's through our family, our parents, society, whatever. We think we're doing the best we can or doing it the right way. Very few of us actually, you know, you walk up to somebody and say, where's the blueprint for your life? Where's the plan? Where's the diagnosis? And most people say, well, I've been thinking about this. You know what I think I'm going to do? I was thinking about going over here. They don't have an actual concrete plan. Most of us don't actually have a budget. We actually spend on essentials, and then we spend on discretionary. But we don't actually budget it out. We don't actually move money around and say, you know what? You know, cycling makes me happy. Coffee doesn't make me quite as happy as cycling, so I'm going to take the $5 a day I spend on that coffee, and I'm going to invest it next month in cycling, and I'm just not going to have coffee. Most of us don't parse it down that specifically. We just, I'll get the coffee, and when I want to cycle, I'll cycle.
Right.
You know? So we kind of know what we should do, but none of us actually do the groundwork or the blueprint work. It's like if you hired an architect, and he said, yeah, I'll build your house, and you say, well, let me see the blueprint. Ah, you don't need to see the blueprint. I got it in my head, guy. I'm like, no, I'm not hiring you. But most of us live our lives that way. We'd ask for more specificity from an architect in building a house than we ask of ourselves in building our lives.
We also do a lot to make ourselves feel better, right? I mean, we're so busy, we're doing so many things that a lot of that discretionary spending comes from us trying to make us feel better about ourselves.
Yes, but we treat everything as equal. And so we're living day to day as it's all equal. And that's why I use the example of coming up with your wealth factors. And saying to yourself, okay, there's certain sets of things that I enjoy, but I don't enjoy all these things equally.
Right.
Maybe spending time with my kids or my grandkids, I enjoy significantly more than golf. But yet, I spend, you know, X amount of hours golfing with my friends. Let me shift that relationship and see if my life becomes more wealthy. And so just because we enjoy something doesn't mean we enjoy everything as equal. And the same thing with our investments. There are certain things to use money. I call it smart money versus dumb money. Not every dollar that we spend is equal. There are certain things that we spend on depreciating assets that don't return anything to us, and there are certain things we can spend on appreciating assets, what I call smart money, that can return something to us. And so we can look at our lives in that way.
The name of the book is The Wealth Cure, Putting Money in Its Place by Hill Harper. It is published by Gotham Books. Hill Harper, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Best of luck
Absolutely
with your efforts.
Great speaking with you. Thank you so much. Hopefully, if people read the book, they can hit me on Twitter and let me know what they think, and they can get it at Amazon.com. So thank you.
Hill Harper, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.